I'm Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hey.
Hi. How are
happy
you?
Happy almost Christmas.
Ah!
I said happy Christmas. Like we're British.
Happy the night before, though. It wasn't like Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry the night before Christmas.
Merry Chrysler.
Happy Crisis.
Pretty much. Hey, Hi. Guys.
Hello. And welcome back to your favorite true crime podcast, About Time for True Crime.
You guys, you shouldn't have.
How are you guys? How is your holiday week shaping up for those of you who celebrate? And for those of you who don't, how are your holidays shaping up? Because it be the time.
Mm-hmm. And also, what are you doing for New Year?
What are you wearing?
Yes. Yeah, so what's appropriate etiquette like to a Christmas party? What are people wearing? Are we doing like ugly Christmas sweaters this year? What was the deal?
Do you remember like the year of like maroon sweater dresses for Christmas?
Do I ever? With the high boots?
With the high boots. And not for nothing, I don't think any woman who is pear-shaped such as myself.
Oh, stop it.
That's not for me. The sweater dress isn't for me, and I always wanted it to be for me. Okay, actually, let me not say any woman. It's not for me. It could be for you, babe. It probably looks great on you. I didn't like how it looked on me.
I tried a sweater dress once, and then I was like, ooh, never doing that again.
Right?
And took that right off.
It's one of those that, like, it hugs every wrong curve. It's not even, like, all of the curves. It's just the wrong curves for
I need, like, an A-line cinched waist.
Yeah.
And go out.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
I like a drop, like a tiered drop dress, too.
Just something, you know?
Yeah.
And if I wear a sweater dress, if it's loose, I look like I'm wearing a potato sack. Mm-hmm. I look like Dobby, but like not nearly, like my ankles are not that skinny. Or I look like I'm wearing leggings all the way up to my chin. Yes. So either way, it's not for me. But anyway, what are you guys wearing?
Yeah, what are you doing? I have been really into like a sweater and a mini skirt and like tights lately. I think those looks are cute.
I wore that for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you did.
It's like a little flowy black skirt.
And I was barking.
She was. She was. I had to be like, Abby, stop it. Down, girl.
Down.
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 Sit.
Drop it.
Stay.
And I said, okay.
Yeah. So we have that.
Yeah.
What are your Christmas traditions? We have one in my family that has been around since I was like a little kid. But do you guys have any like Christmas morning traditions? No. What do you do?
At the Abel Dabelson home, we normally do stockings all together, and then we take rounds with a Santa hat, and everybody gets to be Santa for a round.
Oh, giving out the gifts?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's cute. And then we used to do like candlelight midnight church on Christmas Eve mm-hmm. every year, where my grandparents used to go to church, and that was always really fun.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. How about you? What's your tradition?
Our tradition was that we, woke up.
Whoa.
Yeah, amazing.
Spoiler.
Suddenly I was awake. And we had a big breakfast.
Yum.
And I thought everybody grew up with their grandparents in the house because I grew up with my grandparents lived with us. So I was like, oh, you don't have your grandparents at home? Weird. I do. Because when you're a kid, yeah. You think like, you know.
Everybody's life is mine.
Yeah. What you have is what everyone else has. So I would go to my grandparents and we would have a big breakfast that everyone would help out with except for me because I was a little kid.
Hell yeah. And also like jealous.
Yes. And then like my dad would have maybe like an extra cup of coffee because I couldn't look at the tree. I couldn't see anything.
Oh,
because Santa came and we had I had to wait. So my mom would go up and bring the stockings down.
Oh,
and we'd get to open our stockings all together.
Cute.
And then my dad would probably have another cup of coffee.
Yeah, because he was up until 4 a.m.
He was actually up since 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And was trying to stay awake. And I mean, we were probably always up like 6:30, 7-ish. And then I'd get to go upstairs and I would always write a letter to Santa.
Oh.
And I would leave the cookies out and I would leave the carrots for the reindeer. I say I would as if my mother didn't make and do all of that.
Right.
And then I would get my letter from Santa.
Oh, he would write you a letter?
Santa would write me a letter. He had amazing handwriting that no one in my family had.
Wait, Santa used to do that for me and my brother.
Well, he's mine, so no, I'm just kidding.
That's my Santa, bitch.
So, and then I'd go outside, and I would see all of the, like, bites out of the carrots on the outside on the ground.
The reindeer's not on them.
Yes.
Cute.
And then Sometimes I would like leave these little chocolates out, and then if I left three and there was one left, I would save the other one. I had a secret box, and I put it in my secret box because Santa touched it.
Yeah,
so I was like, naturally,
that's mine.
I need to keep this. This is magical. And so there's probably just rotting chocolate in the box somewhere. But if Santa touched it, damn it.
Yeah, actually, with that, it's magic and it will not mold or rot.
It's true. And then we got to do presents and it was a lot of fun. And aww. I just love a laid back Christmas day.
Yeah.
Where you stay in your pajamas all day. Now at my older age, I don't do that as much. I actually like put real clothes on. I have to put a bra on.
Boo.
Yeah, boo, boo. No talent. And then we have our day. But yeah. That was my childhood.
I love that.
Christmas tradition. And I wouldn't change a thing because it was just always about family. And I was very lucky to be able to experience that.
I'm very lucky because my family is pretty laid back. And at least these days, like, we used to be like the host family, so everybody would come over to us.
Oh, I hate that.
But listen, it was a gift to Mrs. Abeldabelson.
To host it?
Yes. She loved it. So
Mrs. Abeldabelson, God bless. I could not have like 20 to 30 people at my house.
She's the cutest human I've ever met. She once did an entire elf theme for it and literally made a candy cane forest, the swirly twirly gumdrops, and put a Lincoln Tunnel sign above our door. So you had to pass through the Lincoln Tunnel to get to the party.
I love her so much.
She is the cutest thing I've ever met.
Mrs. Abeldabelson.
So if you're wondering where I got it from, it was my mom. But then our version of the pajama day was the next day, which is traditionally Boxing Day, but we have nicknamed it Boxer's Day. So you stay in your pajamas all day.
Oh, how cute is that?
Right?
I love that.
This year, I have to fly on Boxer's Day, which is so fucking rude, but that's fine.
Whatever.
Yeah. But
oh, that's awesome.
It's so good, and it's so nice to be like home for the holidays and seeing everybody that I love.
Yeah.
Do any of you like travel back home for the holidays? Do you live far away? Are you a long distance child? Let me know. The LDCs.
The LDCs.
And let me know how it goes. Because like I always love seeing my people. Like I got to see Kel and Shella and I love them and they're so cute and I have known them forever. But like I only ever get to see them once a year or, you know, twice if I'm lucky. But
right.
It's very interesting to be the long distance child coming home for the holidays, no matter how old you are.
Oh, I imagine that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Especially because you're flying, like you have to go a pretty far distance to go home.
Yeah.
So I like it's a lot of like planning the logistics of traveling and if there's a snowstorm, yeah. Because we are in New England, that is common.
And I live in the Midwest. It's still common. So
yes. And flights getting canceled and then the whole, you know, C word COVID thing happening. I know. I didn't think I was going to say the C word in the podcast, but here we are. We're getting through here it together.
Better together apart. But anyway, we're so excited and it's our favorite time of year, I think. I can say that for both of us.
I love the holidays. What I don't like is like January like 15th-ish when yeah. It's like the snow is still here, but the holidays have rubbed off. And I'm like, oh,
you're
shit.
Like, I'm so sorry. Is that the seasonal affect disorder banging through the door? Like the Kool-Aid man?
It's still dark early.
He said, oh, no.
It's so cold. Oh, no. If you couldn't tell, we are very slap happy. We are recording this, obviously, before Christmas.
Yes.
And we are very busy and it's chaotic and life is lifing, but
yeah,
that's the way of the world. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
It is.
But we are very lucky that we just get to do this. This is like the favorite part of my week. I know it's the favorite part of your week that we get to hang out with our listeners. So of course we weren't going to miss it, but we do have a different kind of episode for you today.
Definitely. In the spirit of holiday chaos, running around, life is lifing, and also respecting your time and figuring that maybe you might want a little summary of some episodes before you dive all the way in.
Yes.
We thought we'd do a little roundtable recap of some of our most seasonally appropriate, timely true crime cases and give you the option to hear a little overview, a little charcuterie, if you will, of what you might want to dive into.
It is charcuterie season.
It's charcuterie season. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Anyway. Yeah, so we figured,
don't use that sound bit out of context. Don't do it.
Don't do it. But, you know, I think we have quite the catalog of episodes on deck now. I mean, we've been doing this for 2 years, so there's a lot.
Holy poop.
So I know that if you're new here, first of all, I would not, let me say this, I ask that you please, with the earlier episodes, if it starts with a 1, 2, 3, or 4, that you please give us some grace.
Grace.
We were learning.
Thoughts,
and
prayers, kindness.
And it, you know, I wouldn't say we're polished now, but we sound hell of a lot more polished than we did. But I think that that is endearing.
Yes.
It shows where we started. And we're proud of the work that we put out, even if it is not the most polished and maybe the way that we would do it today. I think it shows our growth. So right. I'm going to stick
and
with that.
And it's not a very good story if there's no plot, you know?
Yeah, damn it.
So you got to start somewhere.
So today we're going to, in the description box, have the episodes linked.
Yes.
Or at least the name and the number, so you can find it wherever you listen, because I know that you guys listen in different places. Most of you are on Spotify, but not all of you. So we kind of want to give you some ones that if you haven't heard them or you need a re-listen, these are seasonally relevant. And also, I will say some of them are some of the worst cases in terms of like rip your heart out, stomp on it, shit on it,
yeah,
spit on it.
Make you want to cry, throw up on it. Scream, throw up about it. Yeah.
Some of them are really, really intense. So listen with care for sure, but definitely. Hopefully this sort of like overview of each case might tell you which ones you want to listen or re-listen to and which right. ones that, you're going to save for after Christmas. But a lot of you, if you're like Abby or like me, have to do some driving around the holidays yep. or some flying around the holidays, you might want something. Yeah. To listen to, and that is where we come in. So hey, hello, and how are you? Welcome back to your favorite true crime podcast,
and a yoo-hoo, pod's on.
We got like 10 to 15 messages of people being like, I will buy that mug.
Yes,
put that on a mug. I will buy that mug.
Slap it on ceramic and I'll sip out of it, thank you.
Yes.
But
so that's our New Year's resolution. We'll get you guys a mug,
girl. It's on the list. It's in my Adobe Photoshop.
Yeah, Abby makes everything. She's amazing.
Am I?
Yes.
I'm just a nerd.
No. Don't you dare talk about my wife like that.
Wow, you have a hot, nerdy wife.
I do. She's so good. But so I figured.
Yes.
We could jump into some cases.
I think that's a great idea. And just, again, we hope you enjoy your little sampler, your tasting. Of some of what we have to offer for you.
Oh, and also there's a surprise for you at the end, but ooh. You're gonna have to listen to get there. So
I'll see you there, babe.
Let the suspense build.
Okay. So do you want to start with one of our older cases, Ed and Minnie Morin?
I would love to. Yes. Yeah, so in episode 42, if you can whoa. Believe it. Oh my God. That's so long
ago.
Those years ago. We traveled to the other coast to Washington, where we covered the murders of Ed and Minnie Morin. Ed and Minnie got married in 1961 and by all accounts had a very sweet and loving relationship.
Aww.
They were loved by their community, their church, and by their children and grandchildren. They were in their 80s at the time that we're talking about them.
Wow. Okay.
They were Christmas tree farmers, which made it all the more haunting when friends and family couldn't reach them December 19th, 1985. Because that's busy season.
Yeah.
Minnie was hosting a Christmas luncheon at their home that day, but when guests arrived, they found the door locked, the shades drawn, and no one came to the door. The couple's car wasn't in the driveway either, which seemed odd because not only were they expecting company, but they were hosting a party, and more so, a party that Minnie was extremely excited to put on.
Yeah.
So after the friends couldn't reach them, loved ones started showing up because they were told that Ed and Minnie did not come to the door, and it seemed kind of weird, so they let themselves in. But in the house, it didn't look disturbed, except they found Minnie's purse hidden, which was odd because she wasn't there and she never would have left without her purse.
Right.
But the purse was intentionally hidden from view.
Yeah, it wasn't like out on the counter. You forgot to grab it.
Exactly. And that was very weird. Their bodies were found on Christmas Eve just off the side of an old logging road by someone who was driving down and saw what he thought were mannequins. And it is, as we always say,
never
a mannequin. Though the loved ones could have a bit of closure in finding them, justice wasn't served for decades until 2012. So if you haven't heard this case or you'd like a re-listen, you can check that one out at episode 42.
Yeah, That is such a good one. And honestly, it didn't even take us that much longer in episode 46 to cover the Covina Christmas Massacre.
Oh, yes.
There's something about you and the massacres, my guy.
I know. I don't know why I do that.
But Bruce Pardo was a seemingly nice, average guy looking for love. And after several failed relationships and much assholery on his part, I might add, he seemed to have found love with a woman named Sylvia Ortega. Sylvia was a wonderful woman, family-oriented and loving. She had children from a previous marriage and was very close with her family. And she welcomed Bruce in with open arms. The two married in January of 2006, and the descent to misery began soon thereafter for Sylvia. Bruce wasn't all he cracked himself up to be, and in no time, their marriage was in shambles. Sylvia wanted out. Bruce was ordered to pay alimony, of which he barely did, but it grew more rocky when he was caught billing hours he didn't work at his company.
He was getting in trouble at home, he's getting in trouble at work, he's not making good choices, my guy. Not making good choices.
No. And in the months leading up to Christmas in 2008, Bruce had initiated a calculated plan for revenge on Sylvia. And it came to a head on no other day than Christmas Eve. And his brutal attack resulted in the deaths of 9 different people.
This is a very gruesome case. So if you are up for that and you, like me, try to listen to things that are timely for this time of year, because I think whenever you listen to cases, right, if I'm listening in July and it's a Christmas case, it hits different.
Yeah. Then when you're like, ooh, it felt like this. It was like this.
Yeah.
This
when it's time. That time of year when you're like, oh, this is maybe how they felt. Maybe this is what the weather was like. This might have been what they were going through, what they were dealing with. Maybe like different types of family gatherings. Like,
yeah,
you're more in that headspace to sort of understand what they were going through. So that's why I always end up choosing things, or I try to, around this time of year. And this one really struck me.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a rough ride, but we did it. But I wanted to just give that little warning that it is very intense and you should listen with care. But if you would like to listen to the Covina Christmas Massacre, you would turn into episode 46. The next case that I have for you is the murder of Bobby Joe Stinnett, which was episode 123.
A little jump there, but still a bit away from today.
This case is not, I would say, like inherently about Christmas like the other two were, but this did happen almost exactly 20 years ago.
Wow.
As you're listening, this actually occurred December 16th, 2004. So we have just passed the 20-year anniversary of this case, which is why I wanted to mention it here.
Yeah.
But this is also a fetal abduction case. So if this is not something that you are in the headspace to listen to, I would suggest that you don't. But if you are, Bobby Joe Stinnett was 8 months pregnant with a little girl she planned to name Victoria Joe. Bobby Joe and her husband Zeb were over the moon excited to be welcoming their first child in the new year. Bobby Joe had a love of animals, especially dogs, and she especially loved rat terriers.
Yeah.
Animals seemed drawn to her. She just had this very warm, welcoming way about her. She was calm and kind and patient, and traits that made a great dog trainer and breeder, which she was, and traits that absolutely would have made her a great mother.
She sounds like Snow White.
Pretty much.
So for real. Yeah.
Pretty much. She became an excellent resource in her community regarding this particular dog breed. In fact, she had a website and a group dedicated to them called Ratter Chatter.
Oh, I forgot about the name of that. It's so good.
And it was here that Bobby Joe connected with a woman hoping to buy a rat terrier from her. Bobby Joe invited this woman to her home December 16th, 2004. She spoke with her mother before this woman was arriving and then spoke with her mom, I believe, again, as this woman was at her house, like playing with the puppies and looking at them.
Oh.
But when Bobby Joe didn't pick up her mother from work as planned, her mom, Becky, panicked. They had just spoken over the phone. And she wouldn't have just not shown up. I mean, they talked maybe like a couple hours before she was due to pick up Becky.
Right.
So it's not like she could have forgotten. She was afraid that something was wrong. Becky walked to her daughter's home where she found her 23-year-old daughter's body.
Ugh.
Her stomach had been cut open and from it, her baby had been taken.
That one always gives me chills and it always reminds me of an I Survived case that's very similar to that.
Ugh.
But it is definitely another difficult one. It's a little bit, it's definitely tough on the brain to listen through. So that's just another, like, stay open to what we're saying before you listen to that if you're not in the right headspace. Like, we don't want to make your Christmas worse.
Mm-hmm.
But also, this is an important case. And the 20-year anniversary is a big deal for something like this.
Yes. And the thing is that what Bobby went through was absolutely horrific and needless, and it should not have happened, and it was evil the way in which it happened. But the person who did that to her also had a lot of trauma and horrible things, and so it was like that trauma just sort of like the baton was passed to other people outside. It was like a ripple effect, and the awfulness that this woman ended up doing went on to affect so many other people. And now Bobby Joe's daughter is nearing the age that her mother was.
Right.
When she was killed.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, you know,
tugs on the heartstrings.
We're at this point. You know, we're 20 years out.
Yeah. And in a similar vein of, you know, hurt people, the next case that we had to talk about was Rena Virk. And Rena Virk, as you might very well may know, blew up for us this year. That was like our biggest case that anybody listened to, but mm-hmm. I take zero credit for that. I think it's all because Hulu did a really good limited series on this case this year. But we did cover the murder of Rena Virk in episode 118. Rena was a 14-year-old girl in Canada. She kind of struggled with her identity and herself, and she dealt with bullying and a lot of feeling alone and isolated, which to some degree a lot of girls do growing up. I think finding your identity and where you belong is a pursuit that everybody has to go through in their own way. But Rena dealt with a lot of bullying. She struggled to fit in, and she struggled to make those close connections with her peers. And one night she got invited to a party, and at the party she ran into about six of her peers, one of whom put a cigarette out on her forehead before six of them brutally beat her almost to death. And when they decided they were done, she was so brave and got up and tried to walk home over a bridge. And two of those peers followed her before smashing her head into a tree and then holding it underwater until she died.
Ugh.
This is a horrendous case and a really pointed example of hurt people, and you can see how both of those peers who followed her took vastly different routes to healing after.
Yes.
And I think if nothing else, this case just brings up for me the love of a family, because it was her parents that really kept this going. Rena passed in November of 1997, and her parents have carried that baton to today, to the point where Hulu put out a special like within the last year and a half on this. So they have been such big advocates for anti-bullying laws and legislation, for equality, and like just being such intentional advocates for her and the things that she went through.
It's a moving case. It's a tough one to listen to if you are up for it.
Yeah.
That is episode 118.
Yes.
The last case we just want to touch on is one that might sound familiar to you because we just covered it in episode 154, but this is the Sodder Children case.
Ah.
you researched it.
I did.
In this case, it was 1945. George and Jenny Sodder woke up in the middle of the night between Christmas Eve and Christmas to find that their home was on fire.
Yikes.
While it was never determined truly if the fire was arson or accidental or something else entirely, the family's true devastation came when they found no trace of five of their nine children.
Yeah.
It was believed that perhaps their children had perished in the fire. There are also many that believe that they did not. But even after years, there was no trace evidence of bones, remains, or really any helpful forensics. And remember, we're talking about 1940s and 1950s right at this time. Over the years, there were rumors of sightings of the children, but ultimately the investigation into the initial case was limited at best.
Yeah.
And yielded essentially no concrete results. George and Jenny investigated every sighting, rumor, and lead themselves because they didn't trust anybody else to do it. Current forensic investigators note that the fire would have had to be at least twice as hot as the average house fire, and for a significantly longer period of time to completely destroy the remains in the way that it must have, because there weren't any remains left. George and Jenny believed until their final days, until they took their last breath, that their kids did not die in that house fire.
Yeah.
And if they didn't, where could they have gone?
Maybe you could listen.
So I think we've given you some cases to check out.
Truly.
Again, that was episode 154. It should sound a little familiar to you if you've been listening.
Yes.
But now time for the surprise for you.
So in the season of giving, we wanted to give you some of our favorite moments from the last year.
And some laughs, lots of laughs.
Some laughs where we couldn't breathe. Some laughs where we shot water out of our nose. Some laughs were just silly goofy. And also a lot of me mispronouncing words, probably.
And a lot of, oh, we need to redo that.
Yeah, a lot of that.
So we just thought that would be a fun way to send us off into the Christmas season, the fun week ahead of us. And we will join you next time for a very fun, very normal case for us.
Yes. And because of the way this year in life works, that's going to be New Year's Eve.
I know. So without further ado, we love you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy bloopers of 2024.
Woo.
I'm happy.
No, you're not.
Okay. I'm happy.
Nope.
Why?
Because I wasn't ready. Ooh.
All right.
All right.
I'm happy.
That was a really long I'm. The pipes. I don't want a lot for Christmas. I only want you. My bar is on the ground.
I don't want much. What a You're bitch. Fucking fine.
What a bitch.
Okay.
Anyway. God, Abigail, keep it together.
Shut up.
Me, 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 me. I hate when that happens.
You ruined my sneezegasm. Yeah.
Who was that?
I don't know. That was a weird. Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
Are we still rolling? Rolling? Who now? Says that? Are we like still Danny? Are we still Danny rolling?
Ooh. Will you count Are me we in? Still Danny?
Will you count me in?
It starts in my toes.
It creaks on my nose. All right. Seriously, snap out of it.
Okay, jeez. Come on.
Stop it.
They go to, I believe, Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. I can't fucking say Oregon. I hope he's having a womp womp west. No.
I'm sorry, what? What'd you say?
Hi, bloopers.
No.
Well, you know what's better than two? Three. Let's get Tommy Senior in here. Fuck. So fast that I didn't have enough time to fully stop. And then it was just a guy in front of them turning. I was like, can you just like fucking pay attention better? Because then I had to do like a woo, like cut some you air had time to do a coming whoopsie? Back. Yeah. And I was like, I do whoopsies on my time. I don't want you to make me have to do a whoopsie.
Like, I do whoopsies all by myself. Thank you very much. I'm a very strong, independent woman.
Great at wheelies when I want to.
I don't need no man.
No.
And I can do all the whoopsies. Thank you very much.
And Mr. Big Truck, go fuck yourself. And the chaser car and the car where all of the gunmen. No, God damn it. Okay.
I just love you. What the fuck? You're so cute.
Locked in.
Are you? You're about to be locked out. I'm gonna kick you out of here.
All right. Hold on. I'll stop. Hold on. Just give me a. Okay.
Why did you turn like that? Oh, I know why.
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's worse.
You want me to look at you again?
No. Okay. No, I don't. I just had to warm up. That was to get rid of the vocal fry. Do you see? Do you see how much wow. more clear I'm speaking? Do you hear this?
I do.
Thank you. Ooh, are we good? Are we recording this?
Yeah.
Well, I could delete that. All right.
Oh, no. It'll be deleted.
Yeah, that's got to get out of there.
Mm. Cut it out.
Cut it out. Wow.
All right. And if I look at my watch, that was...
About time for true crime.
See you one more time this year.
Bye.
Bye.